Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see you all this morning. We have a special Sunday this Sunday. It is Youth Sunday, and we're going to have our youth helping us this morning to go through the morning's worship service. And we're just so blessed to have each one of them to help. And they've prepared and are ready to share in the service, and we look forward to that. A few announcements as we begin. Just notice on the back there's kind of an ongoing list of things that are happening. One in particular that the kids need to take note of, and adults alike, parents maybe, that we are having that King's Dominion youth trip. That's May the 11th. If your child would like to go on that, be sure that you've got the permission slip. You can get that from Kenny or Deborah, one of the leaders there with the youth, and just make sure they have that information before they go and kind of have touched base about that information so that they can make sure that everything is in order for that date. So we're looking forward to that. Several adults will be going along, of course, to chaperone. Kenny will be driving us in his van, and if we have as many as we think, we might end up having to take two vans. So you just be in prayer for us.
Actually, the last head count, we actually may be looking at a third van.
Okay.
So,
well, we might have to get a bus, Greyhound bus to get there. So we just praise the Lord for all those that are interested and want to go, and just a fun activity as well. And so they've worked hard and did several service acts, and so this is just something they can enjoy some fellowship time together and have fun there at King's Dominion. So please be in prayer for them. Also, notice there, May 11th is also Ladies Fellowship. There is an announcement there, and I think it's either on the kitchen door or on the bulletin board. I'm not sure which, but you can check that and see that as well. Also, when you come in, notice the booklets are there for the Brethren Disaster Ministry. We've long supported that and been a part of that. If you would like to participate in that, just pick one of those books up. There's no charge for it. It gives the dates, of course, May 17th and 18th, and just ways in which you can be involved in supporting that ongoing disaster ministry that the Church of the Brethren does. Let's see, anything else? Of course, there's the ongoing work, Lee, that she's doing with Operation Christmas Child. We have a meeting this week, and she'll continue to be bringing information to the congregation as it's available, and we just appreciate that work that's happening there as well. Anyone else? Megan?
I want to make another youth announcement.
Yes. Thank you, Megan. I appreciate that. Kenny?
And to add to that, parents are also welcome.
Yes.
The parents are also welcome.
Yeah, it should be a great trip, and appreciate Joe's mom welcoming us to come to Sugar Grove, her place there, and look forward to seeing that. And the fishing, as Megan said, will be better. And I heard they have a pond full of fish, and so the kids will just have a good time. I hope many of them can go. It is short notice, but hey, that's okay. We can do things quickly, and we have great people that can organize and lead that. So we just thank the Lord for that. If you have more questions about that, you can talk to Megan or one of the youth leaders, and hopefully we can get a group to go. So, you know, youth ministry is active, isn't it? It's active, it's moving, and the kids are excited about what's happening at Moscow and about the Lord. That's the most important thing. They're learning and fellowshipping and learning about Jesus. So, okay, any other announcements that you'd like to share? Okay, Corbin is going to come now and share with us our morning invocation. And so if you would you bow your heads as Corbin leads us in prayer?
Father God, we gather here today under your care and protection. Thank you for your loving kindness that never fails us. We thank you for those with us that you would guide them, that you would guide our thoughts and actions to bring you glory. Strengthen us and fill us with your peace. May we love and serve each other as Jesus has shown us. We fill us with the Holy Spirit to do your good work on earth. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Stand this morning for our call to worship, which will be led by Olivia. This coming from portions of Deuteronomy 31.
Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid.
For the Lord goes before you.
He will not leave you nor forsake you.
For the Lord goes before you.
Do not fear or be dismayed.
For the Lord, He is the one who goes before you.
Let's turn our hymnal to page 477. Stand up for Jesus. Page 477.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey, for to the mighty conflict it is his glorious day. Ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer, where dare trials or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him who overcometh, the crown of life shall be. He with the king of glory shall reign eternally.
You may be seated. I'd like to just take a couple minutes to share our prayer requests and praises, if we have those as well. On your prayer list, I would like you to continue to put Mary Lou Miller, if you would. Mary Lou is now home from the hospital, and she is recovering, and she is doing well. She had some issues with her arm. It's still, I think, hurting her some. And I know that she just asked for your continued prayers for her healing and for her wellness. And so we just want to continue to lift Mary Lou up. She had a procedure here about 2 weeks ago, and there were some complications at the shoulder. And so she had to stay in the hospital a few days for that, and then they were able to release her home, and she is now recovering from that. So appreciate all the prayers for her. If you'd like to send her a card, I know she would really appreciate that. Let her know that you knew she was in the hospital, that you're praying for her. And so so I hope that maybe you can do that if you get the chance. Also, we want to continue to pray for Jean. I got to talk to her just a little bit on the phone last week, and her blood counts are doing a little bit better, I think the medicine is working, but she wants you, of course, to continue to pray for her, too. And we pray that her numbers will come up to a place where she's able to come back and worship with us again. I know she wants to be here, but she's just trying to not allow too many, keep her amount of people she's around kind of low because of her blood counts. Also, if you would be in prayer for a fellow named Tyler Campbell. I believe it was this past week. I think he works for one of the electric places, Shenandoah Valley. And he was working with high power voltage when, unfortunately, he got electrocuted. And it put him in the hospital. In fact, he's had a surgery here just a couple days ago. I've heard that he's doing well, and the doctors, nurses, I think they're just amazed at how well he's doing, considering how badly he was electrocuted. He had second, third degree burns on his arm, and they did surgery to try to repair that, probably some skin grafting, things like that, to give him help. And so if you would just be in prayer for him. I know that as I was sharing in revival services there in Woodstock this past week, and when that happened, that very day, there were some people in that congregation who knew Tyler, and we entered in prayer for him. And so we're just thankful that he's alive. He's got a beautiful family, a couple children. We just praise the Lord. God spared his life, and just pray that this draws him closer to the Lord through this situation. That's certainly our prayer. Also, if you would put the name Mike Mason in your prayers. He has leukemia. He's a relative of mine, and I just would like you to lift him up in prayers. He will be receiving treatment, and they're doing it fairly fast, some of these things. I think it's quite aggressive form of cancer, and they're going to get on it quickly. And so just pray for him. If you would, just lift up Mike in your prayers, please. Also, I have a praise, and I know you do as well. Just seeing these children up here and taking part in the service, we just praise the Lord for that, don't we? What a praise we have here. And we will continue to just praise our youth and encourage them to seek the Lord. And I know that's just a praise in my heart. I know it's in yours as well. Also, a praise that we thank you for your prayers for My family, as me and Deborah and the boys traveled to Virginia Beach and were able to have services for Dad or Deborah's dad, and we just thank you for just the prayers, the words of comfort, the thoughts, even some texting, just checking on us. And so thank you so much. We really appreciate that. It's, isn't it great to have a church family around you when you suffer something like that? To know that prayers are going up, that we support each other, encourage each other, pray for each other. These things are really important. We need that, don't we? We're very thankful for that. We were able to have that service. It was quite difficult, of course. No one wants to say goodbye, but we have the promises of the faith and our hope. And so that is what moves us forward, isn't it? That faith within us and that hope that God gives us. So we praise the Lord for that. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share? Yes.
Like to keep the name Ed Patterson in our prayers.
Ed Patterson.
He is a year-long friend of the family. He's been a companion and company for Ethel for over 20 years. And he's been diagnosed with stomach cancer. It's stage 2. Then they've caught in hospice. Ethel's with him. So there's only one promise, and he will be saved. So we just pray that he accepts that.
Yeah. Thank you, Kenny. Ed Patterson, please be in prayer for him. For Ethel, too.
Yes.
I know that's not easy to see a loved one go through that and stage 2 stomach cancer. If you would, just lift Ed up in your prayers and Ethel as well. Susan?
Bill Abbott, who is Betsy Michael's father.
Okay.
In Euro ICU at Baptist in Wake Forest, what's it say? He had significant bleeding in the brain. He's had surgery this week. He'll have more surgery in the morning. And so there's a significant ask for prayers.
Okay. Thank you, Susan. Bill Eber, if you would. Please be in prayer for him and for this bleed on the brain, that the doctors and nurses will be able to get that fixed and that he would heal. Also, I think Donald Michael, please put him on your prayer list if you would. Donald had some shots on his back and he's recovering. You know, he's had a lot of back trouble. And so we just want to lift him up in prayer. Him and Francis both, that God's hand would be upon them both. They both struggle with different sicknesses and illnesses. And so we just pray God's healing upon both of them, but especially for Donald with these shots that he received in his back.
Darren, I got one more.
Yes, Kenny?
Please put Sherry on your prayer list.
Okay.
She is...
back pain.
Back pain.
Yes.
Severe. And they finally got an MRI. Ideal floating around, just no schedule yet.
Okay.
So just keep her in prayer, please.
Absolutely. Sherry, continue to pray for you and your healing. I know back pain can be some of the worst because you just at times there's no relief. You can't lay down, you can't sit down, it's just constant. And that can be tough. So Sherry, we lift you up in prayer. We know you've been dealing with a lot with your back. Yeah. Other prayer requests or praises? Yes, Nancy Bailey, continue to pray for Nancy. She's been here a couple times since her back trouble, but I think she, as well, is just an ongoing thing that she just needs God's healing. And so that's what we pray for Nancy. Anyone else? With that, I'm going to call on our youth to come forward and to the ushers, youth ushers, to come forward now and to collect the tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
We stand together in prayer. I want you to keep this little piece of paper here if you don't know the Lord's Prayer by heart. But Isaac is going to share in our prayer for the tithes and offerings and our prayer concerns. And then when that is finished, we're going to share in the Lord's Prayer together, and Aiden will lead us in that. So let us pray.
Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that we can always trust in you. You are an abundant God, and out your great mercy, you have given us so much. We give you this offering today. With it, we worship you and give our whole selves to you. Please now take it and use it for your kingdom and your glory. Extend and multiply its reach and influence, we pray. May it be great blessings to many. We ask all of this in the power and name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And Aiden now will lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father who art in heaven.
Hold on, Aiden. Don't go so fast. We got to catch up with you. Read slow. Okay.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Boy, the youth are doing a great job, aren't they? You might have them up here every Sunday. Make it easy on me, wouldn't it? We're going to have Beth now come and share the scripture, but as she's doing that, I'd like the youth to come and kind of sit here in this front pew, if that would be okay, because we're going to transition. I know they've been serving up here, but as I get to preaching, I want them to be included in this. There's one thing on your bulletin that is that we won't do, and that is the dismissal of our Children's Church and Youth Sunday School. They're going to be joining us here for the service. And so I turn it over now, and Beth will share with us in our Bible, Joshua 1:9.
Okay. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Beth. Thank you, Beth. Well, from that verse, hopefully you picked up some key words there, and that is courageous and be of good courage. And today that's what we're talking about. We want to be courageous Christians, don't we? That scripture comes to us there in Joshua, and if you know a little bit about Joshua, he was the guy that picked up right after Moses. Remember, Moses was the prophet of God that helped guide the children of Israel through the wilderness. And we come to a place now in our scripture in Joshua 1:1 in the Bible where Joshua is going to be picking up for Moses. Moses is done. His life now is going to be called forth, and he's going to be with God, and he's going to die. And the next leader is coming up, and his name is Joshua. That'd be pretty intimidating, wouldn't it, to have to take charge and to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. That's where they're at. They're at they're right at the banks of the Jordan. They can look over and they can see the promised land, the land that God had promised the children of Israel that would be theirs. That would be theirs to inherit. And so they're there looking on this, and Joshua now is in charge. That's what God's calling him. He's calling him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now there were inhabitants of the living in that place, and so they were going to be met with some resistance. And so it wasn't going to be easy. But God was calling him to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. That's how he says, I have commanded you, God says here. Be strong then, and be of good courage. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You think those were important words for Joshua to hear? Oh yeah, he needed some confidence, didn't he? And God was calling to be a confident leader, to be courageous even, to be strong, to be courageous, and to be a strong leader of God. That's what God was calling Joshua to be. And God asks us to be strong, doesn't he? He asks us to be of good courage. What do you think it means to be a courageous Christian? You ever thought about that? What does it mean to be a courageous Christian? Well, I think here's some thoughts that come to my mind, that we will stand tall. What I mean by that is that we will be unashamed of our faith. Now, that can be difficult, can't it? It can be especially difficult maybe when you're in school and you got other friends around you that maybe they're not believers. And it takes courage to stand up and say, I'm a Christian. And it takes courage to say, I'm not going to go along with whatever sinful things other people are doing because I'm a follower of Jesus. I love Jesus. And I don't want to join in with those sinful activities like others might be doing. Now, that takes courage, doesn't it? What do they call that in school? We learned about it. Peer pressure, right? Isn't that what you get told? Peer pressure. Well, we all have peer pressure. Even as adults, we deal with those same sorts of struggles, don't we, church? Amen? I think it's important that the children hear that. We deal with those struggles as well. We might be at work in the workplace and around people that might be influencing us or trying to get us to do or say things that aren't Christian, but God is calling us to stand strong, isn't he? To be courageous. Matthew 10, Jesus said in that chapter, but whoever denies me before others, I will also deny him before my Father in heaven. Whoo! We have to be careful, don't we? If we deny Jesus here, Jesus says, I'll deny you in heaven. So we got to stand strong, don't we? We're not ashamed of our Christian faith. In fact, we should be proud of it. That we know Jesus. That we know who he is, how he died upon a cross for us, that he gave his life for us, that he suffered for our sins. We should be courageous and so proud that Jesus was willing to die for the whole world. Isn't that wonderful? We shouldn't be ashamed of those things. I can remember when I was in school, there was a young man named Ethan. And I was at the county fair in Rockingham. I wasn't a Christian. And Ethan had found the Lord. And he was excited about Jesus. And he came up to me and said, Darren, do you know Jesus? And I said, well, yeah, I grew up in the church. I knew Jesus. But are you saved? Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Have you learned about his love? And are you following his Bible, his word? And I couldn't answer. Man, it struck me to the heart. I had grew up in the church. I knew these things, but I wasn't living them. I was out doing my own thing. And it struck me. I thought, oh, man, I know him, but I'm not serving him. I'm not loving him. I'm not following him. I'm just living for me. I was denying him, wasn't I? And what's he say? If you deny me here, I'll deny you there. So we have to be careful. And that stuck with me. That stuck with me that Ethan was bold enough to tell me about Jesus. There are very few people my age at that point that were willing to say anything about Jesus. They were afraid. They thought somebody might pick on them. Somebody might call them weak. Say they're not cool. And so that stuck with me, that Ethan was bold enough to say, do you know Jesus? He's such this wonderful person. You can have him in your life as well. You know, I ran into Ethan not too long ago, and I got the opportunity to share with him the same thing he shared with me. Ethan, I know Jesus. I'm serving him. I love him. I hope you do too. I don't know where Ethan is in his life right now, but I pray that maybe I could return that to him now, as an adult even. That what he said to me was important. That it was bold. That it was courageous. That he was doing something that was quite courageous when others weren't willing to stand up for the faith. I think being courageous means that we're standing tall. We're standing firm in our beliefs. We're standing strong during adversity in our life. That's when we go through troubles, right? We all go through difficult times. Does that mean we just give up on our faith and curse God? No. We stand strong and courageous even during adversity in our life. We stand united, don't we? With purpose in the church. We stand unwavering in our commitment to God. We stand rooted in hope. We stand resilient in the challenges that we face. We stand steadfast in the love of God. We stand confident in our convictions. And we stand inspired by His grace and His word. Boy, that's a whole lot of things, isn't it, to define what it means to be a courageous Christian. You think God wants you to be a courageous Christian? I'm not just asking you. I'm asking the church. Is that what He wants us to be today? To stand firm? To be unashamed of our faith? To be stand united with purpose, rooted in hope, steadfast in love, confident in our convictions? Those are the things that God wants for us, isn't it? He wants us to be courageous. That's what He wanted for Joshua. Be courageous. Be strong. I've called you to lead my people into the promised land. Joshua, I need you to be strong. I need you to be confident. I need you to trust in me. Even when it's difficult, even when you see the armies that are coming against you, stand strong and know that I am with you. You think God is saying that to you today? He is, isn't He? I am with you. I am with you. I am for you. Be of good courage. Be not dismayed. For the Lord your God goes with you wherever you go. Isn't that amazing? Joshua was called to lead the children of Israel, but he wasn't going to do it alone, was he? You know, God's called you to be a Christian. He's called for you to be courageous and strong. But you know what? You don't do that alone either. He doesn't just give you this big mission and then say, well, good luck. Best of luck. I hope you do okay. You've got to, that would be for Joshua, you've got to go into and lead the children of Israel into the promised land. But good luck. I hope that you make it. It's going to be difficult. A lot of armies there, a lot of people that don't like you coming into the promised land. They're going to war against you. But good luck. You think that's not what God says to Joshua? He said, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I go too. It's the same thing He says to us, doesn't He? As Christians. It's a hard road to be a Christian. It's easy to fall in the life of sin, do the things that all the world is doing. The Christian path is the hard path. Doing right is the difficult thing. But God says you don't have to do that alone. You don't have to try to accomplish that by yourself. If you just look to me and trust in me, I will give you strength. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. God will give us strength. He will help us. He says, I will be there with you. I'll be by your side. Wherever you go, I go. Isn't that a great statement? Wherever you go, Jesus says, I go. Now, you got to be careful, because if you're going places and doing things, saying things, God is there as well. That if you're doing things that He doesn't like, you got to remember God's there too. Boy, think how hurtful that is. God is always watching. God is always with us. And we want to always be doing those things that please God. So Joshua went into this promised land, but he didn't do it alone, did he? He didn't do it alone. And we see that God was with him. Now, in the scriptures, sometimes events or things represent other things. We don't do that always with every scripture. Sometimes there's just a kind of one thing represents something else. And in this story, there is some representation that happens, that things have deeper meaning. Who do you think that Joshua and the children of Israel, who do you think they represent in the story today? Well, they represent Christians, right? Those who are following God. That's who Israel was. They were following God. They were believers. They were called to be courageous and strong in the things of God. So they represent us, the believers today. Who do you think Moses represents? Remember, he couldn't enter into the promised land. He disobeyed God. He disobeyed God. In fact, he struck a rock that the Bible tells us the rock was Christ. The rock represented, again, a deeper meaning. The rock represented Christ. Moses struck the rock as if he was striking Christ, crucifying Christ, or rejecting Christ. And therefore, Moses could not enter into the promised land. And so Moses represents the unbelievers, doesn't he? Those who couldn't enter into the promised land because they had rejected Jesus. That's who the unbelievers are. Now, what do you think the promised land represented? Oh, promised land. What promised land do we have that we're moving towards? Heaven. The promised land, the place of milk and honey. It was abundant. There was abundance in the promised land. And there's abundance in heaven, isn't it? There's abundance in heaven. And we look forward to that place. And the river of Jordan, which they had to cross over, represented that event that separated them, that gulf or that water that represented them, that between the present and the future. Now, we know that for us, that could either be death. We go to heaven through death, don't we? When we believe, we're saved, we enter into the promised land. Or it could, more importantly, be even the return of Christ. At any time, Christ could return. Call us up into heaven if we have faith and we believe. What do you think the wilderness represented then? If we know the promised land represented heaven, what's the wilderness represent? The world, right? The world. We are currently, in some ways, in the wilderness. And the children of Israel, they wandered around in the wilderness, but they were led by God. And isn't that us? We're somehow, we feel at times like we're wandering around on the earth, don't we? But hopefully we're being led by God. He's given us direction. He's given us guidance. He's directing us. He's given us the path to the promised land. And we are following His ways. Well, that's what these deeper meanings represent. Isn't that cool? When you look at the story kind of from that angle, you see the deeper meaning within it. That Moses is these represents the lost, but that Joshua and the children of Israel, they represent the believers. They represent us. And God wants us to inherit the promised land, doesn't He? God wants us all to get to heaven, doesn't He? He does. He wants us all to get to heaven. And He says there's one way in which you can do that. One way and one way alone. And that's through My Son Jesus. There's only one path that leads into the promised land. The path that God made, right? And that was through Jesus. Interestingly enough, do you know what Jesus' Hebrew name was? This is even more mind-blowing. What do you think Jesus' Hebrew name was? You know His Greek name, Jesus, right? What was His Hebrew name? Well, that's God's name, Yahweh. What was Jesus' name in the Hebrew? Joshua. They would have called him Joshua. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus, he's our Joshua. And as Joshua led the children of Israel into the promised land, so does Joshua today lead us into the promised land. Boy, don't you think that's not just by chance? That's all planned, isn't it? It all has deeper meaning. Joshua is the name of Jesus in Hebrew. Yahshua is really how it would be pronounced. And it's a compound word that means God, Jah, or the Yah. Shua, which means saves. Yahshua, God saves. That's the name of Jesus, God saves. Isn't that wonderful? Okay, God tells us three ways in which He is going to help Joshua remain strong and courageous. And I hope you can remember these. First of all, that he was to remember God's promises. If we look back a little bit, listen to what he tells Joshua. God tells Joshua in Joshua 1:6, "Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them." God is saying to Joshua, remember the promises. I have promised to you, before you ever got to this place, really, anyone that was going to enter into the promised land, they were all a new generation because the old generation had died off. 40 years had passed. And he was saying, remember the promise that I made to your fathers. Remember the promises that I made to you. You can be strong and courageous because I will follow through with what I promise. That's what God says. I have made these promises to you. Be of good courage. Be strong. You shall divide this land as an inheritance for your people to the land which I swore to give to you. Remember the promises. And so they could be strong. They could be courageous because they knew the promises that God had made to them. He swore by Himself that He was going to give them that land. And they could be courageous knowing He would. You know, God has made promises to you as well. Yes, He has. He's made promises to each one of us today, hasn't He? Can you think of some of those promises? How about the promise of salvation? That's a pretty good one, isn't it? That's a pretty important one. He said, if you just believe in my son Jesus, that he died upon the cross, if you receive him as your Savior, I promise that your sin will be forgiven. Now that's where our strength comes from. Remember, his courage was remembering the promises. We remember the promises as well. God has saved us. God has promised to save us. God has promised to forgive us of our sins. God has promised his protection over us. He said, I'm your refuge and your strength, is what God says. He's promised to give you guidance and direction. He's promised to give you words in your mouth even when you don't know what to say. Isn't that something? He told Paul, he said, don't worry about what you're going to say. In that moment when you have to speak, that I'll give you the words that you will speak for me. Don't even worry about it. He's promised to put words within your mouth. He's promised you the Holy Spirit to give you strength to live out the Christian life. He's promised you provision and forgiveness of sin and eternal life. And above all, He's promised you His love, hasn't He? And He proved that love upon the cross. He not only promised it, but He proved it, didn't He? He says, I promise to love you no matter what you do. You know, there's nothing that you can do. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. Isn't that amazing? God loves you as much as could possibly be love, and there's nothing you can do to increase that. Importantly so, you can't make Him love you any less. You can't. Now, you might disappoint Him. Same thing's with your parents, right? Your parents love you, and at times they get disappointed, maybe from choices you make. But do you think that they love you less because of that? No. No, and it's the same with God. We can't increase our love. We can't decrease His love. His love is perfect, isn't it? Remember, He says, the promises which I made to you, Joshua. Remember the children of Israel, the promises that I made to you, and be of good courage. Number two, remember God's principles. Let me read on. Only be strong, He says, and very courageous, that you may observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that it may prosper you wherever you go. For this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and you may observe and do according to all that is written within it. And then you will make your way, then I will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Notice there, the second way God's going to bless them and going to make them courageous is that they are to remember the principles of God. The laws of God, the things that He's taught them. He says, don't veer to the left or to the right. Just stay right on course. Do those things that I've taught you to do. Remember my word and practice that day and night. Dwell upon and think about, meditate is the word there, day and night, that you may observe and do all according to that which I have written to you. Now, that applies as well today, doesn't it? God says, if you want to be strong and courageous Christian today, you need to be observing what I said to you in this book right here, this book of truth, His Word, right? His holy Word. Obey my commandments is what He says. You think He's telling us today that same thing? Yes. Yes, He is. Obey my commandments. Lastly, they are to remember God's presence. And that's the scripture that Beth read to us. That's where the courage comes from. We remember as well, that we remember the promises of God, we remember the principles of God, and lastly, we remember the presence of God. He goes with us. I don't have to preach that again because I already preached it, didn't I? God is with us. God is with you. He's calling each of you, to be a courageous Christian. The question still remains is, will we? Will we stand up for Jesus, as we sang? Will we stand up for Jesus? Will we stand up for Jesus? We should, shouldn't we? He gives us every reason why we should. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your word that not just encourages the youth, but Lord, this word is for all of us today. Will we stand up like Joshua? Will we lead? Will we have faith? Will we trust in your word? Will we seek to obey your word? Will we acknowledge that you're with us wherever we go? Father, I truly pray for these young ones and for all of us here today that, Lord, we will stand up and be courageous Christians in the world today. Lord, it takes a lot to be courageous in this sinful world in which we live. And there's a lot of peer pressure for each one of us here today. There's a lot of sinful temptation, Lord, within our flesh that wants us to reject your word and to reject your son. Lord, I pray, though, that rather than reject, we totally and fully receive you into our life. Lord, you promised us that if we would trust in your promises, Lord, you would fulfill those things for us. Lord, I pray even this morning that every person here has trusted in the promise of salvation, that they've received it as their own. They've received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Lord, that is a simple prayer that we make within our hearts. A simple confession, Lord, that we are sinners, Lord. We know that we fall short. But Lord, that your Son Jesus, he saves us from our sin. And Lord, we receive him as our Lord and Savior, and we confess that we seek to follow him now, that we love him because he first loved us, and that we seek to be his disciple. And Lord, that we seek to be filled with your Holy Spirit, that we might have your help to be that courageous and strong Christian that you called us to be. Lord, any person that has prayed that prayer, Lord, even right now, Lord, they truly are a child of God, and they too have received that blessed promise in their life. Father, we praise you and we praise your holy name. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, we're going to now close in our final hymn, and then Caroline's going to share a benediction. But you guys can, where do you want to sit? You want to sit there or you want to come back up?
Come back.
Okay, come back up. And we're going to turn to page 404, The Solid Rock. Let's stand together and sing. Page 404. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Last verse.
When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
You know, before we close with Caroline giving prayer, closing us in prayer, why don't we just give the children a big round of applause for how well they did? They did a great job, and we appreciate each and every one taking a part in today's service. Caroline will now close us in a benediction prayer. Let us bow our heads together.
Father, thank you that you have revealed your love to us today. We invite you to send us out from here in the power of your Holy Spirit. Fan us into flame the gift that you have given us. Come reveal your grace and truth to us each day. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.